Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll continue with your calls here in just a second. So to continue, BT, the conversation we had yesterday, I know both you and I discussed this off the air. Like, I didn't feel like it was that big of a deal that Glenn was leaving the building. And, you know, we were saying yesterday, well, don't let him leave the building. Yeah, if you think that he's really going to go somewhere else, but technically he left the building. I never got the feel that Glenn wasn't going to take the job. There are reports that are saying it's, just a matter of time before he accepts it here. So it does still sound like everything's on track for Glenn to be the next head coach of the Jets.
It does certainly seem that way. I wasn't deterred at all by the news that he left the Jets building without a contract. He was on Woody's jet. I mean, unless he's absolutely using Woody and playing him, which is always, you don't relate the out, but I don't think Aaron's that kind of guy. I think there's something to be said for going home and having a glass of wine and reflecting with your wife. I mean, right now they live in the state of Michigan. I'm sure I used to live there, so probably a 10, 12, 15-mile radius from Ford Field on I-75 in one of those nice burbs like Troy or Birmingham. There's good money out there. It's nice. I'm not saying I had good money. I was just starting, right. But there's nice homes out there. And now it's a completely different lifestyle change. You're going to come to New Jersey, and I don't know how many kids he has, whatever. So that's something that you have to obviously include your wife on. I think that or with in the decision there. So just go home, decompress, process it from every angle. Some people are very spiritual. Maybe he wants to pray on it. I just think because it's the Jets and the history that is the Jets, unique to them, because he left without a deal, which, by the way, Sala did the same thing as well a couple of years ago. Everybody was banging the drum saying the same damn thing. Yeah. How do you leave? Including me.
Right.
Don't let him leave the building. That way, I wish we would have kicked him out of the building before we had offered him anything. But what happened was he left the building. That apparently made a U-turn and came on back on his own volition. Aaron Glenn will be the coach of the Jets.
Yeah, and I would start to get concerned. Now, we went over it yesterday. Like, he wouldn't be my first choice, but whatever. It is what it is. The Jets didn't even want to interview the guys that I would have gone with experience and Super Bowl winners. I'm excited about the potential of Aaron Glenn. I love to see the staff that he surrounds himself with, the quarterback that he brings back. The way that I would start to get nervous from a Jets fan perspective, if you want Aaron Glenn, would be if, in fact, he does go to New Orleans. I know they're having major weather issues with the blizzard in New Orleans, which is wild to think about. Mm-hmm. So they had to push these interviews back.
It's snowed in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane to think about. Global warming, BT. We feel it here. It's all over the place. So you have Aaron Glenn and Kafka were scheduled to interview with the Saints. I guess, I don't know if it was today or Kafka was yesterday. Got to push back. Glenn might have been today. If he, under any circumstances, takes that interview with the Saints, then I would start to get worried, maybe about cold feet, maybe about a lack of contract that he felt comfortable with. But the idea, I feel like Glenn wants the Jets job. It's been reported that it seems that that's going to be the case. So I don't think he needs to go interview elsewhere. If he did, then maybe I'd start to get concerned. I thought he left the building.
I still wouldn't be concerned. Not even slightly.
If he interviewed with the Saints?
I wouldn't. Now, I don't think he will. All right, so
me neither.
I don't. Now, if he does, I won't change my tune because there's something to be said for holding your word. You know, you told the Saints you were coming, and now I also understand if what you hear is just so amazing that you make the determination on the spot, or maybe when you go home and talk to your wife, as I said, you don't have to go and check out another job opportunity because everything that you heard, there were so many boxes that were checked, you're good to go. Why go look to dance with somebody else when the person you're dancing with feels it fits right, it feels good?
Yeah.
So I understand that that might put up some antennas, but I also am a big believer in due diligence. The more you know, the more conversations you have, the more information that you are able to ascertain. I think it gives you maybe a better, even better mindset going into a situation. I wouldn't be overly alarmed. I wouldn't.
You bring up a good point, and maybe I'd be okay with that. I'd certainly be okay with that from Aaron Glenn's perspective. Uh-huh. Maybe I'd be okay with that if the reports weren't so skewed toward Glenn wants the job, Glenn's going to be the guy. Like, if he wanted to be with the Jets, and the Jets clearly want him because... Well, did the Jets have any other secondary interviews lined up?
I think it'd probably be Flores at that point.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, but they
No.
They don't have anything lined up.
No.
Now, I'd prefer Flores, so then maybe they get lucky if Glenn does decide to do his due diligence and sees that the Saints are a better spot for him, whatever it may be. But, like, the Jets aren't doing their homework. They should have multiple second interviews lined up and then say, you know what, our instinct was right. We wanted Glenn before these second interviews. Now, after the second interviews, let's make him the offer. Whereas he may say, hey, you know what, I want the Jets, but... I told the Saints I'm going to go interview. Let me just go see what they're about. And you never know. I mean, you go interview with them another time.
I understand that.
But all the reports are indicating that Glenn wanted the Jets job. You know, they wanted him. He was going to take the job. And then he left the building yesterday. If you hear after that... that he's going to interview with the Saints, then I'd start to think, well...
Because there's been names that... I mean, at this point, I think I'd be stunned if Steve Wilkes is not his DC. I mean, when there's names, specific names attached to positions...
I read another name yesterday.
For DC?
Yes.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, maybe they'd bring him in to be the DC, but Steve Wilkes would be like an assistant head coach, maybe different type
was
role.
Was it a former head coach, or was it just another...
It was a name that we would know. Let me look up if I
can. Well, as you're looking that up, because I am curious to see that, think about the difference here, guys, and I understand that there's been a lot, and Sal has said this, and it makes sense when people complain about this, or at least worry about this going in. Well, you know, the Jets making the same mistake, first time, you know, defensive head coach.
Yeah.
We've been down that road. But don't you think, and maybe this is where the new firm that is pretty much running point here for the Jets with Tannenbaum and Spielman, don't you think that one of the most contentious points from the Jets' angle and from, you know, they're leaning on another firm here, is that they cannot make the same mistake of having rookies in every single place. Okay.
That's the biggest mistake.
Yes, but I think that preemptively they're aware of it, where they weren't as, and I know that poor, you know, Greg Knapp got in the bike accident, died. There's nobody that can control that, unfortunately. So they did at least have that dotted as well, but then out of their control, it's above us kind of thing.
I know, but they could also figure out, they shouldn't have put themselves in that spot to begin with a rookie offensive coordinator, and they did that because of Robert Saleh.
And it shouldn't have taken a couple of years to try to correct it. I agree with that, like, too, so they messed up.
Replace him next year with an experienced guy.
Yes,
got to replace Greg Knapp.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that they are beholden to the same mistakes this time around. I would be stunned if, when Aaron Glenn is named the head coach of the Jets, one of the coordinators, probably on defense, is not a former head coach. That would stun me, and that would disappoint me.
This was Jordan Schultz yesterday on social media, on X. If Aaron Glenn lands a head coaching job, keep an eye on Lions linebacker coach Kelvin Shepard as a hot name for landing a defensive coordinator role.
Don't know enough about it to have an honest opinion. I have no idea. Linebackers coach.
Now, maybe I misread this. Maybe this meant for the Lions, as opposed to...
To Aaron Glenn's...
Yeah, okay. Initially, I took that as maybe go with Glenn, but potentially that meant to replace Glenn.
That's why
Glenn.
I didn't see it, because to me, it's been Wilkes, and that makes a lot of sense. Now, you can say Steve Wilkes wasn't a really good head coach. He got absolutely screwed in Arizona, and then he went to another eyesore, Carolina, which wouldn't give him much of a chance to do well there. But, you know, he knows the pitfalls of being a head coach. He can help Aaron Glenn. He's not trying to jump in front of Aaron Glenn and steal his job. You'd have to think that would be a very productive union. And then it looks like Mark Brunell is going to come.
I didn't see this.
Maybe that's positioned a little strongly. It's very possible, maybe a better way to frame it.
Brunell's going to be the offensive coordinator?
He was the quarterback's coach. Nah, it's either
in
like
Detroit?
Either an offensive assistant maybe the OC. I mean, Mark Brunell worked with Mark Sanchez. Remember that? Don't you remember on Hard Knocks, Mark Brunell saying to Sanchez, you better stay away from my daughter? Remember that?
Yes. Now I remember.
Yeah, so Mark Brunell's been in the coaching game for a minute.
Okay.
You know?
I'd still rather have McCown or somebody like that.
No, me too. Me too.
Yeah, all right, BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get back to the calls. We've been talking a lot about the Mets and their offseason, Yankees as well. John is in Valley Stream. Want to talk about the Yanks offseason. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, John. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Sal? What's up, BT? First, Sal, I gotta take the L with you from way back when I did my Sal Licata impersonation. It sounded more like Dickie V on Daniel Jones. I got to take the L. That's the way that one went, and that's there's nothing I can do about
we
that.
We appreciate the accountability on this show. Thank you, John.
Yes.
BT, you said two things today, killing me. One, that the Yankees' rotation is top-notch, and two, that they're closer to the Dodgers than the Mets. First of all, Seattle, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Philly, all better than the Yankees, easily.
What? Seattle
you realize,
has no offense, dude.
Seattle's rotation
I'm talking about the rotation.
Gotcha.
Rotation. We overlooked the Seattle rotation.
I knew there was a third one. I didn't say the Yankees were definitely two, but they're top three or four. Keep going with what you complain to, John.
They might not even be top five.
Ah, oh, John.
Look, seriously.
I'm listening.
Look at Nestor Cortez and Max Fried. Do you know they're the same guy?
John, hold on, John. Now, Nestor Cortez and Sal, Sal have my back on this. Like, I've always liked his story. I never liked this stuff. I never trusted his. He was more guile than stuff. Max Fried
But look at the numbers.
No, the numbers aren't even close. I disagree.
Here's what I'm going to stop you, John. Thank you for the call. We appreciate your support of the show. Give us a call back. It's a fun call right there.
Yeah, but it's an erroneous call.
Well, did you see this thing? Hoff, I think, texted us in a group text over the weekend. And
did I respond or no?
I don't know if you did. I don't even know if I think I did. But
did I not like enough to respond, Hoff?
Okay, none of you guys. There's some kind of...
The only person that responded to me was Evan Roberts.
It's not a meme.
Fellow baseball geek.
It's one of these things that's going around on social media now. A screenshot of the numbers compared Juan Soto.
Brian Giles?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing? That, I saw that. Although they're like pretty close.
Yeah, okay, right. Well, hey, Giles was a good player. But that's like...
Better than I thought based on the numbers.
That's what John was just saying there.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
Okay, yeah, Cortez. Yeah, if you compare the numbers, hey, Cortez was a very good, serviceable lefty for the Yankees for a few years. He was good.
He was solid.
They'll miss him. The innings eater, the competitor that he was.
Scrappy.
You can't compare the two pitchers.
No.
The same way that, like, you could send me all the numbers in the world that you want with Giles and Soto.
I know.
Like, come on.
I mean, listen, the bottom line, Fried. Now, we've got to see what he's going to do here in New York. I think it's going to transfer him, but until it does, you don't know. Fried is the kind of guy, if he goes out there with his A-plus stuff, could strike out. And, many guys don't go the distance anymore. But if he went the distance, he could have 13, 14 strikeouts, spin a no-hitter, or one hit with no walks.
Like,
He's basically untouchable. Nobody's saying that about Cortez.
And he's one of the two that still, actually, I think he had two complete games a year
ago. He does
ago,
go a little deeper than most,
Max Fried would have been the one guy that I would have invested in if I were investing long-term at the start of the year. I said that before the Yankees got him.
You did say that more so than Burns. So think about this. Now stretch it out. All right, now I think the big question for the Yankees is Gerrit Cole still Gerrit Cole? Now I'm not prepared to say 100%. I don't know. I mean, the Yankee defense betrayed him in the World Series, and he was a horse that night, but... He wasn't quite as electric. He labored a little bit more. I think you'll see a 5 to 7% downtick in stats. I think that's just where he's at in his career. So I think he's the symbolic ace. I think maybe in terms of stuff, it's really Fried. And if Luis Gil either stays the same or just takes a half a step forward, he's the ace. Not to mention Clark Schmidt is your number five. And Rodon as your four.
Hey, you could hate on the Yankees all you want. You cannot deny where they rank as far as starting pitchers or starting staff going into the year. Like
I would say entire pitching staff. Oh, you mean bullpen
that's
too?
That's fine too. And they always figure out a way to work the bullpen here. So and they've added significant arms, so their bullpen should be loaded, and then the starting rotation is at worst, in my mind, top three at worst.
There you go.
And so I that wouldn't be the thing I would nitpick with the Yankees. Their lineup is a different story. Rafael is calling from Roselle Park, New Jersey. What's up, Rafael?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
The biggest concern I had during the NLCS was the amount of walks the Mets pitching drew. And that also almost hurt us in the NLDS. So it's very concerning that the Mets did not get reliable pitching, rather starting pitching or relief. And you're right, Sal. You know, AJ Minter solid, but we could have added Scott.
I'm not saying that you need to be ridiculous and go out there and overdo it, but if the Dodgers can do it, correct, then why couldn't Steve Cohen just add Tanner Scott?
Exactly. And they were connected to Tanner Scott for a minute early.
But they figured Minter was the better value, which I'm not going to disagree with, but why not get both?
I agree.
Or Yates, for that matter. Why not get Minter and Yates?
Exactly. 100%. And then we're experimenting on Montas and Clay Holmes. I mean, there's still a lot of question marks, including the current you know, roster, pitching roster as well.
And that's the point. Thank you for the call, Rafael.
Thanks, Raf.
Yeah. See, like, could Clay Holmes work out? Yeah, I think it's a smart value move by David Stearns and the Mets, and I trust Stearns to make the most of it. But it's not just now Clay Holmes. It's also Frankie Montas coming back to New York where, like, I wouldn't want anything to do with Montas.
Mm-hmm.
Could he potentially be good the way Severino was? Sure, but now you've got two of those guys in a rotation that's already thin to begin with. Like, think about the Mets' top part of the rotation. Yankees have Fried and Cole.
And Heel.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying specifically the top. But, yeah, I mean, not only do they have Fried and Cole atop that, they have Heel, they have Clark Schmidt. They've got some potential throughout.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets have atop their rotation, Manaea, who I like.
I like him. He's good. Oh, okay. Not worried about him.
Great, but all of a sudden we went from, and I liked the acquisition a year ago, but I didn't think he was going to be an ace. I liked it. Now we went from, and most people are like, Sean Manaea, to now it's, oh, Manaea's an ace all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, hopefully he is, knock on wood, but Manaea and Senga and Peterson on top of the question marks with Montas and Holmes, it could turn out to be solid,
yep,
deep, sure, the way that you saw it last year. But in comparison to the teams with the high-end starters, like, there is none.
Well, the other thing, and again, this is not what Met fans want to hear in latest January, but, all right, so Clay Holmes, let's take him. I said that the moment that they signed him. I'm like, that's a very interesting move. I liked it. He did have, I think, 40 starts in the Pirates. Like, he started some games, not with the Yankees, but he does have some starts under his belt. It's been a while, so he's going to have to build his arm back up, and he's obviously doing that now. But with somebody like Clay Holmes, let's say, and he's going to start in the rotation, let's say it doesn't really truly work out. Well, guess what? You have the option, kick him to the bullpen, and you could acquire somebody who's making big money that a cheap team or a poor team can't afford.
Yeah.
So, again, it doesn't solve it today, but there's other avenues once you start the season.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad move in isolation. I think it's the other moves or lack thereof that would have me worried. Also has me worried, BT, is my eye surgery a week from today, and Michael and Elizabeth want to talk about that. Michael?
Hello, Sal.
Hi, Michael.
What I want to talk to you about is your surgery next week.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Are you apprehensive about it?
Absolutely.
Why?
I don't want to have anybody cut my eyes.
That's why.
Well, first of all, it's very routine. I had both eyes done.
Okay. How old are you, Michael?
Right now, I'm 76.
I'm 45. Every doctor that I go see, they all say, wow, 45. Cataracts for a 45-year-old.
My wife said the same thing, too, Jen. Yeah. She's like, 40
Sal,
already?
Yeah.
Did the doctor tell you what he's going to be doing?
It's a she, and she did. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be doing a little laser surgery, removing the cataracts. Yeah.
Great. So what you do is you lie on a table, and they do laser surgery on your eye. And
are you awake for it?
Yeah, totally.
Ooh.
No, so, put me
sounds
out.
Sounds like something from the movie Saw.
You have to be awake. You have to be awake.
Why? What if I start blinking?
You won't blink because they hold your eye open.
Even worse, I'm going to see what they're doing. You're not making me feel better, Michael. You're making me feel worse.
Sal, when you're laying on the table, you're looking up at a bright light. That's what you see.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for the encouragement.
It sounds
there,
like
Michael.
Getting a splinter taken out of your big toe when you're six. I mean, come on.
They did say you have the option to have anesthesia.
Take the anesthesia. Take the juice. Put yourself out.
Put me down. I'm actually having.
Yeah.
I have an appointment Thursday just to go over tomorrow. Yeah. What is today? Wednesday.
Yeah,
so tomorrow I have an appointment just to go over everything, and I want to know how long I'm expected to be in there. If I'm going to be out, let's definitively. You know, get this done with. What lens you're replacing.
Now, have you ever had anesthesia before? I don't think you have.
Only for the endoscopy. Where they
you did mention that. Okay.
That's it. But I've never had surgery.
Because the perils of anesthesia, you know, maybe they give you the wrong amount.
And why?
You don't wake up.
You're laughing, but.
No, I'm not. I'll tell you, every time I get anesthesia, I don't know why I say it. It never works. I'm like, I'm not going to let it win. Like, I'm going to keep my eyes open and stay awake. I'm not going to let the anesthesia win. And automatically, I'm out.
But don't it you think zonks. It's. Isn't it easier just mentally saying, hey, just knock me out? I don't even know what hit me.
Absolutely.
I don't have to worry, but wake up and good to go.
I've had it probably five times. Ankle, back. Elbow twice. I mean,
It's scary.
Whatever.
I'm scared thinking about this. I don't be. I admit it. I'm worried about it. And then, like you said, not only not waking up, but waking up potentially with an issue with the right eye. Then what?
Well, okay, let's do the checklist here. For your perspective, as a 45-year-old man, you're still relatively young.
Yeah.
And obviously you need to see it to do your job. I would say, and I'm only a couple of years older, so I'm kind of in the same boat. For me, the two things that would, I mean, outside of, God forbid, a real, like,
yeah, yeah.
can't, like,
yeah.
illness. The two things that would get me the most apprehensive will be anything down there.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the eyes.
See?
To be fair to you.
See?
Yeah.
And I'll concede, like, take everything down there. I don't use it anyway. I use my eyes every day. I need them. Get me anywhere else. I need these things. BT and Sal, the fan, will come back, continue with your calls in the world of sports. We're talking Mets, we're talking Yanks, we're talking Jets. 888, Miresh goes, what are you doing? You going to get snipped? I was like, nah, I don't need to get snipped. I got married.
Did you ever get the snippets?
No.
Get it? Yeah. Ain't messing around with that.
Not active.
I'm too
enough.
Old to have a third run around, man. Yeah. Snip away. Just don't snip too much.
That's what I mean. That one, maybe.
Rick, can I tell you a funny story? Yeah. It'll take 15, 20 seconds. Yeah. I don't mean to be vulgar. Yeah. I'll keep it clean. It's where, you know.
Please do.
So,
yes.
Right before the snip occurred. Oh, I can't believe I'm going to tell this on the radio, but I have to because it's hysterical. Yeah. And you'll laugh because you'll see. So, my buddy did the surgery.
Yeah.
Which is a little, and he did a lot of us, right? Okay. All right. You know, you really don't want.
Oh, like your friend.
Yeah.
Not your friend had it. Your friend actually.
No, he was. He did
the surgery.
Oh, yeah. He did it. You know what he said to me right before he snipped it? You know what he said? Yeah. I can't believe I'm going to say this on the air, but I'm going to say it. He said, this is for the Mets. Snip.
Oh. Did he?
I said, you bastard. I was right awake. I was wide awake.
You were awake for that surgery?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm numb locally, of course, with the anesthesia. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, dude, it's worth it.
Heebie jeebies.
It's worth it. Get it.
Trust me. No way, dude.
Huh, you going to get it or no?
No. I'm not into that story.
Dove?
I don't want anything snipped.
Yeah.
Not allowed.
Not allowed.
Oh,
gotcha.
What,
yeah,
like,
no, religious purposes, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. Yeah, here's what you got to do. I'll save that for later. I can't say. I was going to say something. I was going to cross the line in a funny way, but I'm going to keep that one to myself.
All right, there you go. BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls. We come back 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan, and we will talk some Rangers maybe a little bit later. BT, they're back. They're on fire. I wish I could have gone to that game last night. I told you I turned down the free tickets. They ended up winning 5-0, nice performance from them, and somehow they have righted the ship. So we can get into them a little bit later on.
Rempe scored, huh?
Yeah, Rempe scored his first goal here. Rangers are on their
getting
way
hot.
Back.
Devil's getting cold, Rangers getting hot.
Yeah, Devil's been a little bit of a funk lately.
I think they've lost 5 of 6, something like that, right? Yeah. Something like that.
We'll keep an eye on those standings as we get closer and closer to the postseason, of course. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phones here, though. We've been talking about the Mets and their offseason. Yankees as well, their offseason, as it compares to the Dodgers, who actually won the World Series a year ago and continue to load up. Also, talking Aaron Glenn and the Jets, continuing the conversation from yesterday. Chris is in Ossining. What's up, Chris?
BT Sal, what's going on?
Chris.
What's up, Chris?
What up, bud?
So, what do you think about that? BT, I know you're a big Jets fan.
I think at this point, everybody knows what I think about Aaron Glenn. What do you think about Aaron Glenn?
I think he's going to steer the ship in the right direction. I think he's the perfect fit for the Jets. I think everybody else was just a just not the one. I think he's perfect, even with the Detroit Lions. I mean, they had, 12 injured, and he still
managed to make them
a great defense.
Well, not all the great defense, but certainly, and the last game they got sliced up. And thanks for the call. But, no, I really like what Aaron Glenn did with a decimated depth chart. You know, even going back to that game, that the last game of the season against the Vikings, which obviously meant something there. Sam Darnold had a great season. He shut him down pretty well. I'm not saying he's perfect, but then again, for this job, I don't know that anybody's perfect because the Jets are the most imperfect franchise out there. I know it's going to take a leader of men. I know that that's also very overused and contrived to an extent, but it really applies. Robert Saleh, we thought he was that. He was not. Well, nobody really thought Gase was a leader of men. We just thought he was offensively innovated. He was neither.
Right.
Todd Bowles was a leader of men, but when it went stale, and still is a leader of men, but when it went stale, you know, his presentation just didn't kind of work here, especially after Rex, whether the high of Rex and then the low monotone approach of Bowles.
And he never had the horses either.
Never quite had the horses. The first year when they went 10-6 with Fitzpatrick and Decker and Brandon Marshall, like they were pretty good. Then, you know, if they won that last game, they would have been a playoff team. I just think that Aaron Glenn, the other thing about Aaron that I like is that he's been in multiple buildings. Like Robert Saleh, well, so was Saleh. He was with Seattle for a minute, but not really doing a whole lot with all due respect. Aaron Glenn played for Parcells, played for really good coaches, was with Sean Payton, was in the Saints organization, and he worked his way up. And I watched a video where yesterday he expounded on how important it was for him not to jump over any steps because he was a player. I love that.
I saw that same thing.
Yeah.
I think every time you hear Aaron Glenn speak, you're going to understand why he's going to get a head coaching job this year and why he's gotten as far as he has. Why Glenn over Brian Flores?
Honestly, I might be a little biased because he played for the Jets. Well, that's not my entire. I knew that was going to be part of the answer.
Not just you, but like I think. Otherwise, give me something outside of the fact that he played for the Jets.
Well, the only thing that I would say is that, and things that I've always said about being adaptable as a defensive coach with injuries, blah, 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 I've said a million times. But the other thing, too, is if I was to line up both candidates, there's checks in Flores' column that Aaron simply doesn't have because he hasn't coached. But there's also one big X, not that it can't be erased by some reflection, some personal introspection, if you will. But he was a very volatile, very explosive figure in Miami. And that does not alarm me to the point where I wouldn't hire him. I would. But I can see why that would be a deterrent for some.
Junior is in Brooklyn. What's up, Junior?
Hey, Sal.
Yes.
BT and Sal, my guy. Sal.
What's up, Junior?
As a Mets fan, diehard Mets fan, I think we need more. We need more. Like, we're coming back with the same team, basically.
Well, I mean, they did add Juan Soto.
I know that.
You add Soto and subtract Alonso, you're better. So it's not the same exact team. I think the Mets are better, and even adding AJ Minter to the bullpen, I think the Mets are better.
Did you watch the video of Carlos Barrera saying that they were going to put Mauricio at third base?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do at this point. But no.
Yeah, they said that he was going to be like their starting third baseman, and then Bienzo's at first. But Sal, I wanted to ask you something on air. Can you please bring me to Amazing Day, please? It's sold out. I couldn't find any tickets, nothing.
You know, Junior,
you got any power here, Sal?
I'll put him on hold there. I don't know if I can help you because I don't even know if I can help my own mother. And that's what I was saying before. I might have a problem because tickets are sold out for this
already.
Thing. Yeah, I believe so.
Well, it's not like 50,000 seats like a game, right?
No,
it's not that kind of deal. How many seats are...
I don't know how many. It's probably because, remember, they're going to have a lot of autographs and things like that going on.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure the VIP things are available, but those are like...
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it was $700, something like that. The regular tickets to get in, I believe, are $40 each.
Is it on the field, too?
I believe there's spots
there's
all over the place.
It's going to be freezing, though.
Yeah, I mean, you hope the weather's a little bit better than what it's been right here.
Yeah.
But there's a lot going on. It's going to be a great day. But I feel like there hasn't even been, we're starting to promote it now, being that it's Saturday.
Yeah.
But this thing sold out so quick. I mean, dude, if I go over the list of some of the things that are going to be taking place that day. Autograph sessions, I told you about that.
Yep. Who's going? Mets, do you know who, like Keith and those guys? Or
I don't.
Daryl, any of the...
I don't. I believe it's going to be current... and legends.
Very good. Okay, so you got that.
I've heard a couple of, I'm not going to mention them, but I've heard a couple of big names.
Okay.
Not that we have booked, but I've heard one like very special, but I think a lot of them are going to be special. Mets Mini Museum and press conference photo. So you can go down and check out Mets memorabilia and have the pop-up press conference room so you experience that.
Where it looks like you're the one being interviewed. I like that.
Exactly.
Fun for a fan. All right, what else we got?
There'll be programming there. I think SNY might be doing something. I'm not sure with Gelbs and maybe Gary Apple.
Okay.
Because I was like, if you need me to go, they're like, oh, no, we're good.
They said that to you.
I was
wondering why, because I thought you did something for SNY last year.
I did something at the Queens Baseball Convention, which
is different.
Because
I got it.
Well, that's like a Mets fan created thing.
This is
the Mets
Got
now
it.
Doing it
okay.
themselves.
All right.
Let's see. I mean,
probably
just
a ton of food and
yeah,
some
dude, just food
other exhibits,
all over the place.
Memorabilia.
Yeah, I mean, Mets
got
photo
stuff.
Opportunities, behind the scenes tour, clubhouse activation. It's going to be bullpen and warning track activations.
Any tryouts for potential first baseman for the season?
Virtual batting activations. That's going to be where we are, location Metro Market and the K Corner, virtual batting activations.
I did that. You know where I did that?
Where?
At FanFest. Fanatics.
Okay, yeah. That's right.
That's
wild,
man.
They had it up there. But take a shot of the VR.
It's like the VR stuff.
Virtual reality home run derby and the Mets. Dude, it's just.
That's going to be a fun day.
Card breaking. They're doing card breaking out there.
Rip a pack?
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if. Yeah. PSA card grading. This is going to be just insane. Beer garden stuff, alumni meet. Now, I think the alumni, you're going to meet them and have them sign. They can only sign the specific poster that's been given away for that day.
Okay.
As opposed to bringing in stuff. But yeah, there's a lot going on. I wish I could help you, Junior. I don't know if I can, but if I can help you, I promise you I will. But tickets are sold out.
So wait, now what is this? This is next Saturday?
This coming Saturday. I had a champion.
Oh,
this
a couple
Saturday.
Days. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to talk out of school here, but let's reach out to the Mets, see if we can get a pair of tickets at some point to give away on the show. What are we doing?
That's above my pay grade.
Well, me too, but I mean, I could throw it out there. Maybe somebody takes a nibble.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Or a couple of passes could be our guest for the day, whatever. All right, we do. Because I know how badly people want to go.
I hear you.
Yeah, and they're sold out. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls coming up in a little bit. We'll also have 3RQ when we come back. 3 random questions as we do every Wednesday at 11:40, so stay tuned.
A good question.
3 random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
1, 2, 3.
On the Fan.
All right, here we go, BT, a little 3RQ on this Wednesday morning, as always, at 11:40. Number one, rank these 3 pizza toppings in order.
All right, I like this.
Pepperoni,
like it. Okay.
Sausage,
okay.
Meatballs.
Pepperoni's third.
Ooh,
pepperoni's third
right
for
off
me.
The
That's
bat.
Easy.
By the way, I would agree with you on that. My friends would disagree, but I would go Roni third.
Now, I have probably had more pizza with sausage than meatball, but if presented 3 slices, I'd probably go for the meatball one first, the sausage one second, pepperoni 3.
I am with you. I'm with you exactly on that. I'm always a meatball guy first. I like sausage, but I don't love it necessarily enough to, like, I'll always get, if we're doing multiple pies, a meatball is going to find its way into the house.
I'll even get calzone, and sometimes I'll get a meatball in the calzone.
Really?
But I don't get calzones often because it's just so fat.
I don't know if I've had that. I've had ham.
And sausage and ham.
Or pepperoni in the calzone. Yep. I don't know if I've had meatball in the calzone.
Well, you're in Jersey now. You'll find some.
I have to check that out. So, yes, I would agree with that ranking. Hoff, do you disagree? We'd go meatball, sausage, pepperoni. 1, 2, 3.
Meatball, sausage, pepperoni, totally disagree.
What would you? What's your first?
First of all, barbecue chicken slice is the best.
Okay. Well, we didn't give that option.
Order that.
You're disqualified.
Why? Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, why?
That's what's number 2? Pineapple?
Like, yeah, it's good. Like barbecue
too
chicken.
Too healthy, right, Huff?
I do like a
Burger
buffalo
King slice.
Yeah. One buffalo chicken slice, like if you're going to have a variety. Really?
No, not at all.
Really?
Zero entry,
you're just
no.
a standard regular slash meatball?
No. I mean, I like extra cheese. I like the white pizza.
Yeah,
I like the sausage. I like the pepperoni. I like the meatball. But
the white pizza's got no sauce, man. I'm out on that.
I tell you, once in a while, it's good. You get the right pizza. You know who's got good white pizza? Ironically, you guys are going there tonight, the Garden.
Really?
Like, I'm not going to get pizza at the Garden necessarily, but if you do, their white pizza is money, and it's a big
at the
slice.
Garden? Not the place across the street.
Well,
Sbarro's?
No, not Sbarro's.
There's the other one on around the corner.
Pizza, not Pizza King.
No, I don't know.
Right on the corner, 33rd and 7th.
Exactly.
Place, really,
that
really
one
good.
Is fantastic.
Right, yeah, I like
so,
that place.
So real quick, meatball, sausage, roni. Rank it.
Sausage, meatball, roni.
All right.
So we both
have pepperoni's last.
All 3 of us. Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. It's too greasy. All right, number 2. Have you ever walked out of a movie?
No. I don't believe so. Have you?
Yes. And what made me think of this is last night, you know, been catching up on the movies. My wife and cousin, her cousin is over.
What did you watch last night? Terms of Endearment?
No. We went for, what the hell is it called? What's that one with Bob Dylan called? What the hell is it? Russo's been promoting it.
It's the Bob Dylan movie. And by the way, this is going to sound blasphemous, but Bob Dylan does
a
nothing
complete
for
unknown.
Me.
A complete unknown.
Zero for me.
You beat me to it.
I'm not saying I'm not interested in his life story, because I do. I love the music, but I don't like his music.
We watched A Complete Unknown.
Okay.
At the recommendation, by the way, I might add, of my wife's cousin.
Like, she's still there?
She's on her way home now. So she's like, oh, yeah, that's because we watched Wicked the first night, A Complete Unknown yesterday. Yeah. She gets up like a half hour and is like, not doing anything for me. I'm going to go inside and watch TV. I'm like, what?
Really? I've never done. I thought you meant in a movie theater.
Well,
I've never even done that at home.
I did mean that.
Okay.
And I did walk out on a movie.
Which one?
Half Baked.
I was going, why do you like that? Baked was awesome.
I remember going with my first
with
girlfriend.
Chappelle?
I thought it was the stupid. Yeah, and Jim Brewer.
Oh my God. That's
I thought
classic.
It was the stupidest movie that I'd ever seen in my life. I was 18.
Bleep you. But you're cool. You're all right.
I'm out.
I walked out.
Dude, okay, so you've seen it again since then, and you've changed your mind.
But he's never seen it high. That's the problem.
No. Well, no, you don't have to see it high.
I understand that, but it's better if you do.
I've never been high. That's maybe that's part of it. I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, I can see that.
I love Chappelle. I love Jim Brewer. Maybe that's why I wanted to go see it. But I was like, this
funny.
Is the dumbest movie I've ever seen.
When the
in my
dog
life.
Gets stoned, the Doberman Pincher gets stoned.
I love horses.
That's funny.
I got up and walked
Butter
out.
Stuff.
Yeah,
you just left?
Just left the
wow,
theater.
Wow, that's interesting.
Left the theater. Right. So you never had a movie that you've left, huh?
I have not.
I'm sorry, but that you got an X for me on that one, dude. That okay. pissed me off. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
It's not one of my all-time favorites, but it's really good.
Now, even as an adult, it's your all-time favorite?
Oh, my God, it's hysterical. It's like, listen, the first time I saw Robin Hood Men in Tights, I thought it was a very dumb movie, and I didn't get it. It was too young. And then we got into the car, and we were reciting every single line, and I realized how hysterical it was.
Yeah.
You got to go rewatch it. I'm telling you.
It's the kind of movie, Sal, like, I mean, if you asked me to name my 30 or 40 or 50 favorite movies, I don't even think that would enter my mind, but it's the kind of movie where if I'm buzzing through channels, which is less and less because I watch TV differently these days, but if it's on, I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, and the bigger point of that whole thing is that the movie, A Complete Unknown?
With Bob Dylan?
Nearly a complete waste of time.
I didn't even like his voice.
His music doesn't do it. His music sucks.
I agree. Nothing for me.
His writing is great.
His writing. I agree with that. Well, how about you write and let somebody else sing?
Joan Baez was much better. The girl who played her in the movie.
Okay.
Definitely.
Was that his love interest?
They did have a love interest at the time, and she helped him become more famous.
Okay.
With his music. She helped him get to another level, and then he treated her like crap. And Joan Baez obviously was a famous folk singer
as
well.
Yes.
But I liked her part in the movie way better. Her singing, like Bob Dylan.
And those movies like Almost Famous or Detroit Rock City with Kiss, like I love those gritty old, of course, 8 Mile with Eminem. I love those about artists, but Bob Dylan, I don't think I'd watch it if it was free.
Johnny Cash, Elvis.
Yeah, yeah,
Elvis
absolutely.
Presley, Ray
yeah,
Charles,
I love Johnny Cash, but
yeah,
I saw
it. I like that movie. I thought
Me
that
too.
Was a good movie.
Walk
this
the
one.
Line.
All right, last one. Would you rather see well for both distance and near or see great for one of them and need glasses for the other?
I think I'd rather see well without any of the assistance.
See, this is the option I think that I have coming up on Wednesday with the surgeries that they could put a lens in there.
Okay.
That will clean up your seeing.
Okay.
It won't be perfect for either,
all right.
but it's going to be very good.
Okay, but define very good. That's a very nebulous term.
Well,
do you need glasses when you read your laptop?
I think it was that you wouldn't need glasses for
Sign
either.
Sign me up. I'm in.
Yeah, but it's not going to be perfect.
That's okay, but it's not perfect now for me.
Or you could have it.
One perfect.
Yes, and the other you just need glasses for.
If I could get rid of glasses, and you wear glasses more than me.
Yeah.
If I could get rid of glasses entirely, why wouldn't I? 100%.
See, I'd rather, it's like Mitchell Robinson of eye surgery. I'd rather excel in one area.
Yeah.
Meaning Mitchell Robinson is great at defense and rebounding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sucks offensively. I'd rather excel in seeing far, whatever, and then having glasses, because then that's going to have me excel seeing near. So
I know what you mean. I remember the first time, this probably about 6 or 7 years ago when I first noticed a little diminishment in eyesight.
Yeah.
It was on the golf course, like on the tee box. If I hit one or my buddy hit one and we try to track it, down, like if it's not down the fairway.
Yep.
I used to be so good at that. Even if like one of my buddies would pipe one 3+, I'd see it bounce.
Yeah.
Now I'm just guessing, like I'm 20 yards off.
So it's not even just for you.
The distance has gotten. I don't think I could complain as much as some, but it's not what it used to be.
Well, I'm hoping, knock on wood, that this gets fixed for me. Hoff, go ahead.
Yeah, I think whatever keeps my excuse of, oh, honey, I couldn't find it, I want that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't find what?
There was a lot of places to go. I was thinking the same thing. But.
Those are three or two. Yeah. Mrs. D from the Upper East Side wants to talk about the eye surgery. Mrs. D, you have any advice for me? Is Mrs. D there? All right.
Mrs. D is asleep.
Joe is on Staten Island. Joe, what do you got?
Hey, Sal. Hey, BT.
Joe.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Joe.
What up, Joe?
How you doing, BT? How you doing,
buddy.
Sal? Good, good. I'm calling because I'm calling about your little snippet story.
Get it snipped.
I know. I actually know the guy that snipped it for you.
Oh, my God. Dude,
all right,
really?
No, wait. Joe, keep names off the radio. That's right. Whoa. He is the Staten Island guy. Keep the names off the radio, Joe. We both know who it is, and we both know what he did, and we both know the story that I told on the air last segment is 100% true.
Now, wait. How
is he a Mets fan, yes or no?
I'm not a Mets fan.
No. Is he? Is the guy?
Yeah, he's a Mets fan, a diehard Mets fan.
I know.
But how would you know the guy that snipped BT?
Because he told him.
He went and told you.
No, BT. How about this? I know him at family parties.
Yeah, think about that, BT. Your name's coming up at these family parties. Oh, yeah, you know BT and Sal on the fan? Yeah, I snipped BT.
Well, I mean, listen. It's BT. Jesus. that hit me a second after. All right, so, but think about the context of which it comes up.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you're at a barbecue, and what do a lot of guys talk about?
Yankees,
a lot of guys talk about sports.
About sports, right.
Oh, did you hear Evan the other day? Did you hear Sal? Did you hear BT? Yeah. Oh, by the way, I know BT. Our wives are really good friends. We're really good friends. Oh, you know him? Yeah, what was he like? He's cool, man. He's really cool. And then, you know, he probably slips that in to really punctuate how well he knows me. And I got to be honest, of all the guys I know, no one knows me better than he does. He held them.
Let's get one more in on the eye surgery. Eric is in Woodbridge. What's up, Eric?
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to try to offer my help with the surgery. I just had cataract surgery where I had the lens put in, and oh my God, it's life-changing. So I would say get the lens, be free of glasses. Yes. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, there you go. A part of me, and you know me, I'm definitely afraid of this. Like, I really am.
I know you are. You're not just playing it up. You've been afraid for a month.
Yeah, the closer that we get to it, the worse it's going to be for me. So I got a week in counting.
Yep.
But it's so bad for me. Like, the glare, dude, is bad. It's gotten to a point where I can't wait to do it and hopefully have my sight back.
I know.
Relatively speaking, not just like old age losing the. Like, I can't. The cataracts are covering both the center of my eyes.
Ugh.
It's like a dirty film, the way that they describe it.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So I can't. I'm struggling to see here.
So if you open up your phone, say if you're driving, you're at a light, right?
Yeah.
And you hear you get a text, right?
Yeah.
And you look at your phone. Can you see 100% clear without glasses?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I can't even see the screen in my car.
Jeez.
Without glasses.
And that's going to change?
I don't know. What I do know is, you know how sometimes the glare will come in and you can't see the screen a little bit?
But I think that's even for people with good vision sometimes,
but
glare.
Like, for me, I can't see it at all.
At all.
Like, I'm driving at night, it's bad. Driving in light, it's bad. I asked my wife, I'm like, can you see that? She goes, yeah, I can see it. I can't see it at all. That, I would assume, will change.
Okay, so it's more of a glare thing, not more of being able to read something right in front of you
or a
couple of hundred yards down the road.
But also remember, even seeing something right in front of me, because of the lights, like, I think it impacts everything.
Okay.
It's not
I'm very curious. If this goes well, I might be next. If it doesn't, I ain't doing it.
Yeah, if I come in with one eye for the
rest. Hey, it's BT and Cyclops on the show. You one-eyed freak?
Well, that's why they do one at a time, because God forbid something goes wrong.
I know. No, we're pulling for you. You're going to be fine, dude. Yeah. We're messing around. You're going to be fine. Suck it up.
I have to try to call in that day. See what's...
call in.
I don't know what time it is. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get back to your sports conversation. 888-808-1019. Reset hit you with the king topic of the day. We started talking about the Mets and Yankees offseason in comparison to the Dodgers. Also, Aaron Glenn as the potential next head coach of the New York Jets. So all that and more coming up.